You're listening to Alternative to Sleeping with Ethan Allman here on WCDB Albany 90.9 FM and the Comedy Pipe Radio online, comedypipe.com is live video feed. I'm really excited to welcome back to the show good friend of the show, Jake Sassville. Jake, how's it going?
Hello, Ethan. Yes, this is my alternative to sleeping. I was actually, a true story, before you called me, I remember that we had booked this interview.
Right.
I said, oh, I got to go to bed. And just as I was about to turn off my phone, I thought, wait a minute, Ethan is calling me at 11:30. I got to stay up for this.
That is right. Thank you. I appreciate it.
It's my pleasure, friend. It's what I do for you.
What can I do for you?
Well, you know what you can do for me? I would actually like, you and I, Ethan, we go back, and I have a feeling that as we both remain in the industry, we'll know each other for a while.
Yeah, I agree.
It's just what happens. I got a bone to pick with Ethan Allman, actually.
Really?
I got a little bone to pick. I'm curious about, I have to be very careful what I say on your show, not only because it's FM radio and I don't want to swear.
Right.
But I remember the last time I was annoyed. Well, I was working in New York at that time.
Okay.
I was doing my late night TV show in New York.
You're from Chicago now, then, right?
And I was annoyed with some staff. And I think that actually got back to the staff through you.
Right. No, a friend of mine worked for you. You said he wasn't working for you anymore, so I just casually asked him what was going on, and then he got upset and asked me for part of the interview, so I sent it to him. Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, he gets upset. I hope he's well. I wish him well if he's listening.
So that was your bone to pick? Isn't that kind of a situation you set up by saying something about it on the air?
Oh no, I definitely set it up, but I was thinking to myself because all hell broke loose in my production office. Is that a swear word? I know I'm not supposed to swear.
You can say hell. I don't consider it a swear word.
All hell broke loose in my production office. People started coming at me like, "What is this? What are you saying about us?"
Really?
On the air, on live radio. And I was like, "I can't." And I said, "Well, they're sure as heck not in Albany." Because they're in New York, and New York is about 55 miles away from Albany, at least, depending on who's measuring on a map. And I thought, oh, my God. And then I thought, well, Ethan sent it to him because we all know each other. I said, well, Ethan's crazy.
It wasn't me going, oh, my God, listen to what he said. It was him saying, what did he say? And I was like, actually, I don't really know. So I sent him the clip. That was,
well, there you go. It's all good. I guess there's the bone. It's more like a funny bone. I just broke it in half, and,
You should have told me at the time. This would have been, we could have settled this long ago. We could have fleshed it on the air.
I like to settle things live and in person. It makes it more interesting, a bit more bouncy, I like a little sweat under my armpits. I don't know about you, Ethan.
I don't prefer it, but, that's...
I'm increasingly impressed. I keep up with Alternative to Sleeping. I don't listen to you, but I keep up with you with the social media.
I appreciate that.
Well, my pleasure. And you get some pretty high profile guests on this little show to stay up with you.
That's right.
You do. I mean, increasingly so, right? I mean, unless you're just making up all this stuff and putting it out on Facebook.
I'm just editing together clips of different interviews and then putting my voice in there.
Hey, listen, I told everyone in 2004, I started my first show. It was on Local Access, and then I made a jump from Local Access to Fox affiliates in the Northeast, which was basically made in New Hampshire. Let's not embellish. And I took a what do you call it, like a canned interview from Halle Berry. Remember when she was in that awful movie in 2004 called Catwoman?
Oh, yeah.
And so there was like a press interview with her, and I put that as filler in my show. My show was horrible back then. I put that in my show, and then I started promoting it as if Halle Berry was on my show, and really just disappointed a lot of people. How cheeky is that? You had to be 18 and delusional like me to actually lead with that in press.
The closest thing I've done to that is I was at a press event, and Tommy Hilfiger was there. And I said, Tommy, will you do an interview with me? And he said, no, I don't have time. But I got him saying, no, I don't have time recorded. So I promoted that I had him on my show, and I played the 1 second clip. It technically was me asking him a question. So I think it counted.
I can't remember whether it's Tommy or Ralph Lauren that looks older, but someone, one of the two, hasn't had any Botox.
I have no idea. You know, I didn't even recognize my girlfriend. It's like, hey, that's Tommy Hilfiger. I was like, oh.
You know, I've considered, speaking of Botox, Ethan, I don't know if I've told you, we don't talk often off the show, but I don't know if I told you, I'm considering plastic surgery.
Really? What's that for?
Well, I'm thinking about getting a boob reduction surgery.
Okay.
I have sort of, you know, I lost a lot of weight back when I was 20, and I sort of have, I guess I have skin. My friend Kate, who runs my company, she was over in Chicago. I live in Chicago now. She was over in Chicago. She said, you have a lot of excess skin there. I said, don't be looking at my excess skin, lady. and so it led to now I'm it's called gymnoplasmia surgery or something, where they just suck out all the, or they tighten whatever needs to be tightened there. Huh. I'm thinking about it, Ethan. I haven't made any decisions yet.
Well, you know, I guess if it's important to you, I guess, I don't know if you want my advice, but I guess go for it if you want it.
Well, only if your advice is interesting. I mean, people either will say go for it or don't do it.
I think you should go for it. Keep the excess skin and make a hat out of it. That's my interesting advice.
Yeah. Yeah, sort of like a Pringles hat. Yeah.
Right. Are you coming back to Albany doing anything crazy anytime soon?
No, you know, I did Albany. I've done that town. I may go back later, but I have no plans to right now.
Okay.
Well, I've actually moved my whole company, my whole show, to the Midwest.
Right.
Got out of New York, came to Chicago. So, you know, I instead of going to Albany when I was in New York, now I'm going to, like, Champaign, Illinois from Chicago if I want to do something real big in a second-tier market.
Second-tier market, I like that.
Yeah, that's funny.
Well, so Jake, the big announcement is that you've got a book coming out.
Yeah, so I had this book in my mind for a long time, and you know, I've told people isolated stories and incidents. I mean, you're in the entertainment industry, Ethan. You know how crazy this place is. And I've been doing it for a long time. I've been hustling since I was 15. Various failures and successes along the way.
Mm-hmm.
High profile rendezvous. You know. Embezzlement, being involved unintentionally with embezzlement schemes with the biggest rock group in the world, you know, being the pawn in a $1 billion divorce, which was unintended. Just crazy things that have happened in the last 5 years in my life, but things that have sort of transpired in my attempt to, you know, in my pre-fame years, to gain infamy, to bring my show, my late night talk show, nationally. And I set an intention when I was 20 and I dropped out of college. I said, I want this at any cost. And what started to transpire over the next 5 years was literally stuff started to come to me, but it was at any cost. And so I have all these sort of short stories and vignettes that sort of compile a patchwork sequence of the last 5 years of my life, and I thought, well, let's put it into a book. And then I was talking to my publicist, and I was like, you know, I want to do all of this, blah blah blah. And then I was talking about potential titles for the book and telling different stories to her. And then the title of the book just came out of just coming into alignment with who I am at a deeper level, but also wanting to have something that's relative. It just, you know, you know how stuff just happens. It's just, it's sort of a combustion of stuff. And,
right.
And there we go. And then I wrote the book. I wrote the book. I basically wrote 150 pages of the book in 3 days in San Francisco. It was sort of, you know, after several months of preparation, the actual writing of the book took 3 days, and now I'm playing around with it, and yeah.
So was it just nonstop 3 days, or was it like you sat down for a couple hours each day and just really pumped it out?
I've never experienced something like this. I had, so basically the structure of the book, I've never written a book. I don't have the attention span to write a book, Ethan.
Okay.
So I was like, how in the heck am I going to do this? I moved myself to San Francisco with the sole intention of writing this book. But I said, how am I going to do this? And I said, well, I got to do it Jake style. I got to be delusional. I got to be a little crazy about it. So what I did was I invited my friend from Minneapolis, who's just like a creative friend of mine who works at an ad agency. I said, take a month off. Come out to San Francisco with me. He said, why? I said, I'll tell you when you get here. And so he came to San Francisco, and I made him, if you can imagine this, you've interviewed me for 30 minutes at a time. I made him interview me for 1 hour a day for 19 days.
Wow.
About my life. He didn't know much about my life or the stories that I had had. I gave him a rough outline, but I just had him be naturally curious for an hour a day. I recorded that, Ethan. Excuse me. And I sent the recordings to Pakistan, to my virtual assistant.
Okay.
And I had my virtual assistant transcribe all of the recordings.
Oh, my God.
And I basically, I mean, this poor guy.
How long did that take?
He literally was transcribing. So it took him, for every hour of recording, it took about 3 hours of transcribing.
I've done transcribing just for newspaper articles. That is a pain in the ass.
It's a pain in the ass. I couldn't believe, I mean, and I got him at $4 an hour. God bless this guy. Mohammed, we'll call him, yes, Mohammed.
he took
and,
a big,
yeah, so Mohammed was turning, what?
Sorry.
So he was turning these basically this transcriptions around in 2 or 3 days, and then I would take just my voice from that, and then I would use that as source material. I basically, did it all in 3 days, really wrote the majority of the book in 3 days after all, looking at this transcriptions as source material. It was pretty powerful, pretty cool.
Now, is there enough stuff in there to write 2 books, you think?
2 books?
Well, I'm sure you had to pick and choose what you did want to use. Was there some stuff that you really felt you just didn't have room for, but you did want to convey somehow?
Well, I still am sort of working out the structure.
Okay.
You know, publishers initially, you can imagine, this is, again, pretty self-righteous and delusional. I admittedly, you know, I'm admitted about that. Publishers started balking at me when I started sending it out because they're like, who do you think you are at 25 writing a, quote, memoir?
Right.
So, you know, because it's kind of hot. So I sort of am now in the process of going back to the drawing board, not necessarily with the content, because the content's there.
Right.
But more reframing it, instead of doing it as a memoir, I noticed that Jon Stewart in the mid-90s, after he'd had some success, wrote a book of short stories.
Right.
Which actually demonstrated that he was pretty prolific in the way that he framed it up. So anyways, so I've decided now to reframe it as a book of short stories.
Kind of like David Sedaris kind of thing?
Yeah, exactly right.
Okay.
Exactly right. But more about my life and about my experiences and also the wisdom and philosophy that I've sort of garnered by being in these very uncomfortable, awkward situations with people.
Well, I can tell you, I read the sample chapters that were on your website, and they were great. I was totally enthralled in it. I'm excited for the book.
Thank you, bro. I really appreciate that. I'm pretty proud of where it's going, and my intention and my hope is that it's able to inspire people, you know, because a lot of people talk either on one side or the other. They talk as the waiter who's trying to be an actor, right, or trying to make it in the entertainment industry, or trying to make it, frankly, in any industry that's difficult to break in.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the other side where you have the famous people who are, you know, either for the reality stars or the acting or whatever it is. But no one ever really captures that in-between phase and what it's really like just to unapologetically go after something that you dream of. And that's my hope for this book.
And not only interesting, but also funny. It's just, I'm excited about it. We haven't even said the title yet. The title is, It's Not That I'm Bipolar, It's That I'm Gay. So are you both gay and bipolar?
Yeah. I mean, there were 2 shockers with the title. For my staff, it was a shock that I'm not bipolar, and for my family, it was a shock that I was gay. You know, so here's the genesis of how that came to be. The answer is no. This explanation will make sense based on your question. I was in London after my tour last year. I had done a music tour and a promotional tour for the TV show.
Okay.
And I was exhausted. I'd done 45 cities in 60 days. I think I saw you on one of those cities, maybe. I don't even remember. I was just exhausted. And so what I did was I went to London, which I find a tremendous amount of I just love it there, and I have friends there. And so I was living in this flat, and I was meant to speak with a business coach with my business partner.
Mm-hmm.
And we started speaking on the phone together. And Travis, who's my business partner, he comes out of nowhere. And he said this before in private, but never on a business call. He said, Jake, I think what we really need to be looking at and why our company, you know, we were trying to improve different places of our company. He says, I think why our company is really not able to succeed to the level that I think it can is because of your bipolar tendencies. And I said, excuse me? And he says, your chemical imbalance is getting in the way of the growth of this company. I mean, in the middle of, like, a conversation with somebody that I didn't really know very well. Totally just outrageous. And inside, Ethan, inside I was thinking, you know, I'm not bipolar. Like, I don't have a chemical imbalance. I knew that my bipolar tendencies, you know, I've had sort of a knack of firing staff and going a bit crazy sometimes. But I always felt that that wasn't who I really was. And so, long story short, I wrote an email to Travis that night after finally coming to terms with who I am. And in the subject line of the email to him is the title of the book, which is, Travis, it's not that I'm bipolar, it's that I'm gay. And that just stuck. I talked to my publicist about that story, and it's just a sort of a universal thing, I think.
Now, is that story...
Not the bipolar gay thing, but right. Yeah.
Is that story featured in the book?
Yeah, I'm framing it up as the foreword. I'm doing things a little differently. Foreword / introduction, however they want to frame it, however mm-hmm. the publishers want to frame it. But it's sort of the beginning. So the beginning story is going to be that story that I just shared with you, and then the afterword will be, meaning at the end of the book, will be Travis's response to me, which was actually pretty loving and pretty profound.
Oh, cool.
And in the middle, there's just all this craziness that right. you started to read in the sample chapter. The book is not about being gay. Nobody wants to read about my gay life, Ethan. Nobody wants to read about your straight life. I mean, you're straight. Nobody wants to read about that. But, you know, I wanted the book to mean something more than just the stories that were within it, and that seemed to be a good way to do it.
Yeah, and it's an exciting title. It's something that people will be like, what the hell is this book about? So I think yeah. it's a great title.
I hope so. I hope so. Thank you very much.
Now, can I ask you some gay questions?
Sure. Go ahead. Be my guest.
Now, I was thinking about it. I'm pretty sure the first time you were in here, that was for the Pringles thing. One of the questions I asked you was, because we were talking about your college tours that you did, is did you ever hook up with chicks after the shows? And you kind of you gave me like a weird answer. And I was like, have you hooked up with any dudes after the shows? And then you kind of laughed it off, and then we continued. But I'm kind of thinking about how prolific I was, and I just wanted to compliment myself.
I can't believe. Do you listen to your interviews that you've done with past people so that you can bring up stuff like this?
No, you know, I just remembered it.
That's a great memory.
Yeah.
You know, for years, I got to tell you, there are clips, actually, very embarrassing clips. Not embarrassing, but just really uncomfortable. People would come, when I was first launching on ABC after Jimmy Kimmel, people would ask me, I had a Fox News, Rebecca Gomez on Fox News, I will never do another interview with her, and then Judith Regan on Sirius XM, both asked me outrightly if I was gay.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so uncomfortable with talking about this in public. I didn't want to. I was struggling with myself. I mean, 24 years, Ethan, I was in the closet, comfortably in the closet, might I say. But I just went deeper into the closet when these people started asking me on live television as my whole family was watching.
Right.
You know, it's just very uncomfortable. So that's probably why I artfully skirted around the issue. But yes, you are very, very prolific and quite a foreshadower.
Right. Yeah. and I didn't hit you with the, so are you gay? Because that's not an appropriate question, I don't think, to ask someone on the air.
Yeah, I think our generation is really going to change the way sexuality is seen in America.
Right, right.
You know, it's already changed in Europe. Nobody gives a crap about this in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think it's going to shift in America, and I think, you know, I think that's a testament. You know, you probably made fun of it. I probably made fun of it, but you didn't come out directly and ask. You know, and I would have said no. I would have said no because it was a scary place for me to be.
So is this something where you said you were in the closet 24 years, you knew it from the beginning? Or is it something where you kind of had to grow into it and discover it?
No, I think that, wow, this is a comedy show and we're going deep, Ethan. You sure we're good with this? My God, I'm on.
We're in the last 10 minutes of the show. I'm sure no one's listening.
All right. All right. Thanks. Yeah. But, you know, this interview will be somewhere at some point, and they will look back and they will say, what a tremendous interview. You are. You're a very good interviewer, actually. I've always said that about you. It's why I continue to do your shows.
Thank you.
Despite the fact that you leak interviews to my staff to piss them off.
So am I not allowed to put that interview on the website? Or
you do whatever you want to do. I am free man. I no longer work with those people. I am a happy person.
Okay. All right.
And you can send it to them. So what am I saying? Oh, my gosh. Bring me back here. We're just talking about.
So I'm curious if the gay thing was something that you always knew or something that you had to come to terms with.
Oh, yeah. So always knew, started acting on it, you know, when everybody else starts acting on stuff when I was a teenager.
Okay.
But just kept it very hidden, very discreet.
Right.
And that's. Yeah, so I've always known. I think people really know. I mean, people say that they don't know. I'm not sure if they're quite in touch with reality. Either am I, fair to say. But, I've always known, you know.
So now going from, you know, as you said, the cable access show to the Fox affiliates, with the bigger, as the fame increased, were you nervous that maybe some of your past partners or someone would come out and, you know, make a news story out of it? Was that ever a concern for you?
So funny. It was going, well, I knew I had to just be in a line. I knew that if I was going to speak about being in alignment and still being irreverent and inappropriate in the way that I am, I knew that this was a piece of me that would have to be just in alignment. It didn't have to be talked about necessarily, although, you know, I did put it as the title of the book. But
right.
It would have to be... it would have to be something I'd be aligned with. So I was concerned early on with people in Maine and in the Northeast because I had sort of a spurt, a growth spurt in my show and in the notoriety in the Northeast.
Right.
But then I guess I was. But as I grew into my 20s, I just thought that it was all very silly. And I knew that someday I'd have to come into alignment and be honest with myself. Yeah, and it terrified me to write about it in the book in any capacity, and that's why I knew I had to do it. You see, I think the way you really expand yourself and really just get yourself to grow is to see what you're most uncomfortable about, and then you just do it. So that's sort of what it was with the book.
So did your family, were they fine with that? Were they not surprised? Was there...
Dad was amazing. Mom actually ironically said at breakfast, I didn't tell her at breakfast. I told her before because I didn't want to sit through a meal after telling them that. So I just told her, and then we were having breakfast a few weeks after. And she said, you know what? If my husband were to die, I don't think I'd date another man. And I just left the ambiguity there. I said, well, I guess my mom's going after tortillas. That's okay. My grandma is convinced that it's just a ploy. It's just a marketing ploy because she thinks I'm such a press whore.
Right.
So she thinks this whole thing is just made up. Book. And she's convinced that I'm going to marry the person who runs my companies. Her name is Caitlin. So she's in her own world. And my aunt got a bit concerned, I think. I think that she felt that, oh, my God, if he's gay, maybe that's a reflection on me. So she had sort of those anal retentive reactions.
Right.
but that's how they all reacted. And then everyone else just found out as they did. Most of my family, in fairness, most of my family that I didn't care too much about actually found out with the launch of the book and with the massive, well, not massive, but we did like this initial push for it for the online chapters.
Did you come out, how much in advance of the book title being released did you come out to your family?
2 weeks.
Okay, so it wasn't like years and years, it was pretty close.
No, I mean, I came out to myself and to my business partner with the email in November of 2010, then I told friends up until about February, March, and then in April I told my parents, and then April, May, I guess, May, June, maybe, the book thing started to come out.
So now I'm just kind of confused. How does it come up? How do you segue that into a conversation? Just like, hey, I'm gay. Like, how do you do that? What did you do?
So I knew that I didn't want to do it like everybody else does it. Everybody sits their parents down. It's this big thing. And I had recognized for myself the importance of being completely comfortable with how anybody reacts. To me, if I can be neutral on something, not charged one way or the other, that for me is the best place to be when I am doing something. right? I don't want to get too metaphysical on you all right now, but that for me, that's just, I just don't want to have a reaction to it.
Okay.
So I got to a place where I didn't care what they thought, just this was more of a mental, spiritual place for me. And then I called my dad? No, I emailed my dad because I wanted to preface with the email that Travis had actually sent me in response to me coming out to him. Mm-hmm. I just sort of wanted to frame it up. I texted my mother, actually. Don't judge me. My mother hasn't called me in 2 years, so I texted my mother.
Yo,
and,
I'm gay.
Yeah, that's it. I'm gay. Thought you should know. Yeah. Because I wanted to be aligned with the fact that I was saying it's not a big deal. It really wasn't a big deal. I did tell my grandmother and my aunt on the phone. I just said, I have something to tell you. I'm gay. And then I just let the reaction go because I knew not that I had nothing else to say after that. Because I really did. I have nothing else to say.
Right.
I'm doing it more for their benefit than I am for me because I had already come into alignment with it and I have a book coming out in 2 weeks, so get ready.
So now, do you wish that maybe you can add to the book to encapsulate some of these stories and experiences from coming out?
Not really. No, I never wanted this to be a book about coming out. I wanted this to be a book about, you know, a lot of the book is about my irrational, outrageous behavior. I don't know if you've noticed, but I have irrational, outrageous behavior that most people categorize as delusional because they don't choose to look at it any closer. And I explore my behavior and I talk about my behavior, those are what people call my bipolar tendencies or my chemical imbalance, when really what it was is I was just repressing who I was.
Right.
I was just repressing my sexuality, and it was coming up and making itself known in other ways that were not who I am. So in that way, the sexuality stuff is explored, but it's very subtle.
Okay.
I don't want this to be a book about coming out because I think that it's not that big of a deal anymore.
Right.
What's more of a deal is the journey and the inspiration and the stories and the insights and the failures, just the sheer failures. How many times I've just failed and fallen on my face. To me, that's interesting. That's inspirational. Because, you know, a lot of people would just stop trying and I just never will.
Well, it sounds like a great book. I'm excited about it. You think it's going to be coming out next year?
Yeah, I think 2012. You know, we're I've redone everything in my company. I've parted ways from business partners. I've rebranded myself. I've taken Late Night Republic, which was my show, off the air in August.
Really?
Late Night Republic. Yeah, I canceled Late Night Republic, actually. I decided to, I shot the dead horse.
Wow.
And I'm launching a new show, which is more slated for cable, at the end of January, called Delusions of Grandeur, which is sort of looking at the fact that I'm a hypocrite.
Okay.
I'm a self-proclaimed Hollywood outsider who desperately wants to get in. I have all these crazy, outrageous experiences in my life, and I've decided to, in the same vein as Larry David and Curb Your Enthusiasm, explore that.
So more of a sitcom than a talk show?
More of an improv sitcom, no more talk show. I'm not a funny guy, Ethan. All the press we got, I mean, all the mail we got from people who were really breaking apart the show and saying what they like and didn't like, everybody gravitated to the behind-the-scenes elements. But they said when I started trying to do a talk show, it just wasn't funny. So we just said, well, we got to give the people what they want. This is the show that I've had in my heart for years. So we're doing that. We're doing it more as a cable show, 15 episodes at a time. Really funny stuff because it's real.
Right.
It's real. And, real stuff is good. And we're going to have really interesting cameos of these crazy characters that are in my life, from spiritual gurus in Munich, from Munich, Germany, that visit me and that I visit them, to, you know, Pat Croce, who's the former owner of the Philadelphia 76ers, to, just a variety of people that come in and out of my life.
So maybe by the time the show comes out, I'll be extremely famous and you'll be asking me to be on the show.
Well, I hope so. Okay. I mean, if I'm ever in Albany, you know, I'm going to bring the show there. I mean, that's really the show is capturing the reality of my life. So that
right.
you're definitely you are a piece of my reality, Ethan.
Well, I'm honored to be a piece of your reality.
So, with the launch of Delusions of Grandeur, we have a campus music tour, the Delusions Tour, which is going to feature top artists.
Cool.
And just be really, really fun. And so with that, we're going to wrap in a push for the book. I don't know when specifically it's coming out, but people, if they are interested, can go to bipolargaybook.com or to cityofsass.com, and the links will direct you to where you can see the foreword and the sample chapter and sort of get in on what
right.
it is we're doing. Yeah.
Well, cool. Yeah, I definitely I think people would really enjoy it. My audience, I'm trying not to directly tell them to do it, but it's worth reading. It really is, and I'm looking forward to the book. Hopefully the campus tour comes near here. Hopefully you need a comedian on the campus tour. And
if I do need a comedian, though, I'm going to call Dan.
Okay. All right. I'm going to leak this
to him. I'll know the routing of the campus tour in February, and I'll definitely let you know if we come to
okay.
Northern New York. We have been. We've been to a lot of the SUNY colleges.
Right.
So, you know,
yeah.
I'll let you know.
All right. Well, Jake, let's say I want to get you back on when the book comes out. I'm excited about it. It's not that I'm bipolar, it's that I'm gay. And you said bipolargaybook.com?
Bipolargaybook.com. Thank
Excellent.
You, Ethan. It's always a pleasure, really.
Yeah.
You're a tremendous interviewer.
And you're a tremendous guest. It's really always fun to talk to you. So appreciate you calling in and staying up.
Thank you, bro.
All right. Take care.
Take care. Bye.
Bye. It was Jake Sassville, as I... said before the interview. I don't think we said his name during the interview. but Bipolar Gay Book, you can check out the chapter. It's really good. His blog's great, cityofsass.com. All great stuff to check out.